Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Buddy, we are live in Euless today. Cold beers and cheeseburgers. Join us. We're celebrating their one-year anniversary and getting ready for an epic football weekend here in North Texas. And it's time now for the Stephen Jones Show here on your home of the Cowboys. And he joins us now. Good afternoon, Stephen. How the heck are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Man, we're doing so good. The Jets game was amazing. And yeah, I just wanted to get your thoughts on this because you're watching the team in Oxnard and then seeing how many guys stepped up in that game off the bench. And the vibes are so good. I just think you really have something special with the leadership dynamics, like Shoddy plus Dak equals leadership gold.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that a minute. Obviously, Coach Schottenheimer is just doing an amazing job. I thought he went through hiring his coaching staff, which you can see now is paying off in spades. I thought the way he went through that was amazing. And, you know, hiring guys like Clayton and Connor on the offensive side of the ball, I don't want to get into names because I think I like every one of our coaches on our staff. But I agree with you. And then you throw Dak in the mix. He's always been the Pied Piper of this team. He's got amazing leadership skills. He's, you know, quite an amazing man off the field. But what a hell of a year he's having so far. And in order to lead at the end of the day as a player, you do have to be, you know, you have to be great as well. And that's the way Michael Irvin was. He was one of our great players, but also a leader. But there's no question those two guys are at the front of the line and making a huge difference in what this team's all about. And, you know, the main thing is just overcoming, you know, obstacles that, you know, teams go through. And not only are we doing it, we're doing it well.
Seems like some years you're hoping that one backup offensive lineman can step in there and be next man up legitimately, and last week it was four. What do you think allows that to happen?
I'll go back and start with coaching. I think, you know, these guys are just doing a great job of communicating and our guys understanding what we're trying to, you know, accomplish philosophically in that line, whether it's the run game, pass protection, whatever it is. You know, I just think between Clayton and Connor, they're just doing a great job of helping our guys understand. Now, you know, hats off to Will and our pro scouting staff and college scouting staff in terms of, you know, picking players who've got the skill set to get the job done. But there's no question. I mean, when not many teams can step up, especially in the offensive line where, you know, a lot of people look at it. A lot of guys take a lot of pride in being a unit, not just one guy here and one guy there, individuals, but a unit. And certainly to have four new guys step up and play at that level is great. Now, it also looks like we're getting ready to get guys back. So, you know, as they come back, we'll get them plugged back in and hopefully not miss a step.
Stephen, you mentioned that about the offensive line. You can maybe say that about your wide receiver crew as well, them stepping up here the last couple of weeks. And you're talking about getting guys back plugged in. How difficult are those situations when you're now dealing with 21-day windows, maybe having to make roster moves, and then you got guys that are backup guys that are playing pretty damn well for you?
Well, that's a good challenge to have. Usually it's the other way around. You got, you know, you don't have enough good players to put on your 53. But we are having some challenges. But as you know, we activated the clock on Mingo and Carson and fully expect those two guys will ultimately make their way up. You know, unfortunately, you know, at the end of the day, attrition will get you. And we just, you know, found out we're going to lose Sanders for the year, our running back. And, you know, these things have a way of spots opening up. And probably won't do Mingo this week. A good chance Carson may come up just to get him going. But that's just part of it. But it is great, as you said, to have guys like a Flournoy step up, a Tolbert step up, and knowing you got a guy like Mingo coming when you have injuries like we have with a CD and Turp.
So, wow, thanks for that news. Miles Sanders out for the year. That's tough for him, but thank you for the news. How do you think the carries get picked up? Is it more Javonte? Is it more Jaden Blue?
Well, we're so fired up about what Jaden Blue can do for this offense. You know, he's got rare explosiveness. And you know, we've just – and I know Coach Schottenheimer and his offensive staff are going to certainly continue to figure out the best way to use him. But I think he's really going to bring something to this offense, you know, at the running back position that we hadn't had. And I think this can, as much as I respect and think a lot of Sanders, I think, you know, at the end of the day, Blue can really bring something, some more juice to this offense, which you start talking about getting him and Turp and CD in the mix going forward. Then, you know, an offense that's already doing pretty good has got a chance to just continue to get better.
Ed Werder has a cool story up today about how you guys identified Javonte Williams in the middle of last season and were really, you know, chomping at the bit to try to get him under contract. What else can you share with us about how that process went of identifying Javonte and why you guys made him such a priority?
Well, I think it's been well written, well reported, however you want to talk about it, that, you know, a lot of what goes into our grades, too, is what we thought about him coming out. And, you know, we had, you know, late first round, high second round type grades on Javonte coming out and just, you know, thought he was an outstanding football player. And then you roll the tape his rookie year where I think he was in the running for rookie of the year, you know, as a running back. He had right at 1,000 yards, I think. And then, you know, had the unfortunate ACL. And certainly, you know, at the running back position, you miss that year. And then sometimes you're just not the same guy coming back. And we just felt like there was a lot to him. And you go back and, you know, you do your research on what kind of man he is. And, you know, he's certainly a guy who's a professional, does everything the right way, and certainly the leader in that room. And I think Shotty got his hands around it early and often in training camp, you know, that this wasn't going to be a by committee. This was going to be, you know, his. You know, he was going to be the bell cow and have everybody else support him.
Steven, it looked like you manufactured some pass rush last week. And it has to be very encouraging what you saw from your guys. And against a New York Jet offensive line that wasn't compromised, was, you know, was intact, have some quality players, it had to make you guys feel much better about your situation when you saw that.
Yeah. Well, this thing is a work in progress. We still have to get a lot better on the defensive side of the ball. I think Coach Schottenheimer, Coach Eberflus, you know, our top players and leadership on defense would tell you that the, you know, the air is up for this group. And, you know, with the injuries we had early at the corner position, we were, you know, certainly trying to protect that as well as we could and probably, you know, compromise the defense some. But, you know, now with Bland and Diggs getting back and, as you said, I think people are understanding the concepts and I think this defense is, you know, is only going to get better as the year goes. And we're going to get healthier and we should get better.
Steven, you could swat this away if you want to, but on my platforms that I've had a chance to talk about the team and stuff, I've kind of said I felt like that this team needs to prove to you and to Jerry whether you need to make a trade or not. If you find a way to put together some wins that, hey, okay, let's go try and finish this off. Let's try and push this forward. But if the team doesn't play well, maybe you would stand pat. Is that fair or am I way off base?
I think you're off base, Brian. I think only in the fact that we believe in this team. And if the right opportunity were there, sitting there today to do something, then we would pull the trigger. We have that kind of confidence in our team. And really like where we're headed right now. As you know, sometimes opportunities don't become available till other teams, I don't know, I guess I'll use the term until they're ready to mail it in and, basically say, hey, we're out of this thing this year. And it's, it's still the first third of the season. So we got a lot of football to play and a lot of teams are far from mailing it in. So they're not willing to, part with somebody, thinking, it's probably not going to be our year this year. And so we're always looking for opportunity to just make this team better. And if we saw a great situation that would really improve it even more so, then we would be all over.
Love to hear that. It's Stephen Jones here with you on The Fan. What was your view of the bird seen around the world there from Jerry?
I don't comment on other people giving the bird. you need to ask the horse on that one. It needs to come from the horse's mouth. But I will say this. It wasn't venomous because everybody in the box was upbeat and fired up and grinning. And I don't think there was any rage in that particular finger, if there was one.
Yeah, seeing the replay, you were having a great time laughing and smiling at somebody. I was wondering if you saw Dad's bird and that cracked you up, or if it was something else.
No, I didn't see it. I was more listening to what was going on in the stands, and people are got some great antics. And, at that point, there were mainly Cowboy fans, and, everybody was certainly fired up. We love it when our Cowboy fans go out and support us in New York, and we had a lot of them there. And so anyway, a lot of great fun, people pumped about the day, and that's why I'm saying it wasn't one of those venomous type birds. If there was one, it was one having some fun.
There you go.
Stephen, I was kind of wondering about that as you're sitting there. I mean, you guys do a really good job of just if people are going after you and stuff, you guys just kind of take it and move along. And I just wondered, I know because I've been on the sidelines for you too, down there in those Giants games and stuff. I've turned around and yelled at fans too after one of these games. So I kind of understand when they get on you. I mean, you take it a lot better than I do.
When it's venomous, the best thing is look right over the top of them.
And, I needed to learn that from you. I never learned that. No.
If they think you're looking at them, then it just promotes more of the same.
Yeah.
Well, the winds of change are blowing in the division once again. Speaking of New York, Giants over Eagles in Thursday night football, what was your top takeaway?
Well, you know who I was probably rooting for. That goes without saying. But I guess my top takeaway was the Giants found them two really good offensive players in their quarterback and their running back. And I'm sure they're fired up about that, and they already had, an impressive defensive front. So they're certainly, a team that is going to be another team in the East. Like usual, when you have good organizations, they usually always figure out how to have a very competitive top-end football team. But certainly between Dard and Scadaboo, you have to respect both those guys and the way they're playing here the last three or four games.
So do you think we get two Tylers back this week, and then what's going on with BB and Booker looking into the future? Will BB be activated in the window next week?
It may not be as early as next week on BB, but we do have another group of players who have a shot for next week. But BB's coming, and he's coming fast. And, Turp and CD and Booker all had good weeks, so – like I said, I mean, things are, the air is up, and certainly one of the ones we all got our eye on is Overshown too, and he's sure progressing in a great way as well.
Right on. We'll give him hell out there. We'll be pulling for you.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good weekend.
There he goes. Cheers. Stephen Jones with you here in the G-Back Nation on 105 Through the Fan. We are live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. That was a hell of a line. I don't comment on other people's birds. But, yes, he gave us the news there that Miles Sanders out for the season.
Well, it looks like it's a knee is what they're dealing with here. So, yeah, that's what they're – we're kind of thinking it was like an ankle or something, but the knee is the issue.
So it was the injury from the game?
It was definitely the injury from that. And so they've kind of moved on, so that does give them a spot. I was thinking about asking too about you, and then you asked about Overshown, and that's one of those ones too that like they feel like that in talking to some people that he, once he gets that practice window, the 21 days, they're gonna take all 21 of those days and then plus some practice time. So that's what they have to get him to. They're gonna try and get him to that window, and they seem very, very encouraged by that. But once it's gonna
take. Do you think the window could open next week?
It doesn't sound like it to me right now.
Okay.
Now, but he's talking about it being close. Maybe, you know, you get to, like, you've got the Denver game after the, well, actually Commanders, then Denver. You know, you got to buy. You got to kind of think about all those things going forward. But that they're going to take all 21 days and then also some practice time before they get that one right.
Did you hear anything about Revel?
He is last night, I know we walked out. Fred made the proclamation that he didn't feel like he was going to play this year.
Yeah.
And I reached out to somebody, and they said, I said, hey, my colleague says, and they said, my guy goes, tell your colleague that he will play this year.
Okay.
Yeah. He did it in a nice way.
It was a good, bold prediction from Fred. I thought it was very entertaining.
Fred just lobbed it right in there. And then, matter of fact, I text Blake, and Fred sent me back this picture with the two thumbs ups, you know, like,
yeah.
Okay, I got you, brother, that kind of thing.
It is a little interesting how long it's taken, though. Over, I guess, it'll be 13 months post-injury.
Yeah.
I mean, if you got activated now.
Yeah, that's, you know, the rehabs at East Carolina, and then when he came in, he was working in Dallas for his rehab, and then Britt Brown picked him up after the draft. So there's probably some things that they had to do.
Hey, take your time.
Afterwards.
It's a rookie coming off an ACL.
I'd love to see him play. This guy's one of my favorite players. He really is.
Yeah? Yeah, like that? I mean, I thought you had him as one of your top 40 guys.
I did. It was funny. It was funny. It was kind of reverse of how, you know, how I had Booker and Ezeraku and then Revel. But if Revel was healthy, Dallas would never – they wouldn't have been able to see him.
All right, we're live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers here in Euless, G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan. It's their one-year anniversary, and if you need a great place to watch football, Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers is it. Next week, they'll be running a special one-day promotion Tuesday, October 14th, to celebrate their one-year anniversary. Buy any entree, receive an All-American burger for $1. That's a hell of a deal here, and that's next Tuesday, Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers, but they got the goods for you right now. Great place to come watch the UNT game tonight, Red River tomorrow. We're back with the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening and everything trending across America's team's news here on 105.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. The Tolos have arrived, and we're fellowshipping with them here at the break. Salute to Jack Daniels for being here on the scene. They have some delicious beverages. Looks like Brian took the Hoover to one there at the break.
Blackberry. I didn't know what the mix was for it.
Okay.
It's lemonade.
Ooh.
I drank this thing in 90 seconds.
Blackberry sure JD with lemonade?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
I'm telling you what, that would be a great drink. It's a great drink overall.
Yeah.
Summertime drink right here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We got the pool party tomorrow.
Yeah.
This could be.
That's going to be the one?
Right there, it just went down. Well, Jack's so smooth anyway. But, yeah, with the lemonade, Mardi Gras Brian could show up with drinking a bunch of those.
They got the Herradura. They got, I think is it Johnson Distributors?
Yeah.
Yeah, Johnson. They got
Woodford.
Woodford Reserve.
Yeah, we tried to get those Kentucky Derby hookups. We need to get one of those. Get Lucius in that bow tie like he looks like Cam Newton.
Yeah.
Cam Newton looks
like a black dandy. Here I am. Betting on the ponies.
We got your Friday started properly here, though. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. The segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Thank you. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Tomorrow, you want a G-Bag Nation flag? Join us at the Highland Hotel for a watch party, 2 to 6. It's a pool party watch party. And in the morning, Mansfield Hurtado, 10 to 10:30. Fort Worth Hurtado.
You're going to get you some barbecue.
11:30 to noon. I'm going to load up.
I know you are. I want nachos?
I want the big tray.
No,
I'm probably going home with at least a half dozen Bidia tacos.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. They brought us this burger as well. It's called the O-Line. It has grilled cheese sandwiches for buns.
For buns, yeah.
Yeah. And you can get one of those here as well. Calvin Watkins in the morning news has a story on the Cowboys OC.
Hmm.
The headline, Brian Schottenheimer's hire of Clayton Adams is the secret behind the Cowboys' resurgent run game. Under Schottenheimer and Adams, the Cowboys' offense number one in yards and tied for fifth in yards per play. I always do get a little bit uneasy when we're talking about giving so much credit to the coaches, because these players, they go out here and they bust their ass and they're putting their health on the line and they're great and they did a lot of good as well. But I just think, like, it helps so much when you have the coaches matter, and in this instance with Clayton Adams, I'm damn sure that the coaching staff does deserve their fair share of credit.
He, Coach Riley, Lunda Wells, the tight ends coach,
yeah.
You know, they've done a really nice job, and you finally have a staff that came in and evaluated the players they have and how to use them in a way. When it comes to blocking,
yes.
When it comes to what guys can I pull, what guys do I down block, what guys do I combo with?
Uh-huh.
You know, there's times where you see, and we'd never believe this, looking at the way that Terrence Steele's body is, he is a really good run blocker, combo blocker.
Weapon.
And he could get second level. And you got guys like Booker, who's not so much a puller or a get outside guy. He's more of a power player. You got a center that's a power player. You got Smith that's a power player plus a puller. You've got tackles. You could take Guyton and make him a puller. So now they've got ways of running the ball right and left, and you got a back that's got really good vision to hit it.
Yeah.
He's not a home run hitter by any means, but he can. You saw in the long run that he was able to get through. He saw it, he read the blocks, and then he was able to make it. Once he saw the way the defense was set up, he was able to take advantage of that. But that's, and then you got, and I mentioned Lunda Wells because the tight ends, and you see with Span Ford. Span Ford is like having an extra tackle in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got a power guy where they sometimes struggle at the point of attack. Is they don't have anybody that could just – that used to, they just power. And Span Ford can get movement. You put him one-on-one with an end, they double that tackle, and then you get a puller that maybe log or to kick out. That ball is going right up in there, and the back has got the vision to see that. So the coaches have figured out what they have. Eberflus kind of needs to figure out, like, oh, I've got this guy to do. And a little bit last week, oh, hey, let's put Houston over on this side. Let's rush two defensive tackles inside and bring a looper. See, that's
hell of a play.
That gets you a sack.
It does.
You know, those are the kinds of things they have to do more of.
And Span Ford is such a weapon. He's just so unique. I don't know if they've had a blocking tight end like that since Witten in his prime.
Yeah, Martellus Bennett Marty B was a get under you and just lift you guy. It's a shame that you know he had his kind of his run-ins, and
he had to grow up while he was here.
The front office
got
mad at him, and they ship away, and then he's like, "Oh wow, he turns into this type of player that he was."
He, great guy too.
Oh, yeah.
I love
really
smart the Marty B story.
Yeah,
but I love how Calvin Watkins, gave us the backstory on this. It was a 2022 pregame chat. The Cowboys were playing Arizona, and Shoddy was using that time to meet people that he might want to hire if he ever got the chance or the responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where it started. In the offseason, as Shoddy began compiling names for OC, people he knew in the coaching positions or the professions, Tyler Boyles, Jake Doyle, Matt Terpening, they mentioned Adams. And Shoddy also spoke with Eberflus, who was hired as DC, and they worked together in Indianapolis. Eberflus was a linebackers coach in DC, and Adams was a tight ends coach and assistant offensive line coach in Indianapolis. So that's kind of how the dots started to connect. Adams, as it sounds or as it reads, might be looking at Shoddy as kind of a mentor as well, maybe a little bit of a role model. He says, I think there's probably also some complementary skill sets. I know there's things he does that I look at and I go, oh gosh, I wish I was a little bit more that way. So I didn't obviously get to make the decision to come here, but that was one thing I thought was really good about it for me. What do you think he's talking about there with Shoddy, the complementary skill set? Is that the communication?
I think that Shoddy, you know,
the rah-rah stuff,
yeah,
connection.
But, you know, it's interesting, Dawson, because, okay, you've done coaching, and coaches are coaches. You know, you've done – what's one of the things that, as a coach, you have to be able to do? Communicate, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have to be able to communicate.
If that breaks down, you're
done. Offensive line coaches are so used to working with their guys that they don't always think
they're in the lab.
Yeah. Like Shoddy is like a – he's over the defensive side. He's over – you know, when he was working, when he first came here, he was a coach like – remember Ben McAdoo? Where Ben McAdoo, they had him working with the defense, even though he was offensive guy.
Yeah, so kind of scouting,
kind
consulting,
of scouting, yeah, consult,
quality doing all, control.
Exactly. He's doing all that stuff. Shoddy was a guy that was always in every – you talk to the defensive players – and they're like going, Shoddy was always in your face. He's like, hey, man, you got to watch. You got to watch. That's what Shoddy is, that guy that's out there. Like he's a guy that's a people person. Offensive line coaches not always are people persons, you know. So communication, how you communicate with the whole team, how you interact with the staff, all these things that you can learn a little bit from Brian Shoddy. I don't have anybody that's ever said anything mean about Brian Schottenheimer. What we were worried about was game management and how would he handle difficult situations. You know, we're seeing how he's handling difficult situations with some of these injuries and then the team playing hard for him. So that's where you could see a little bit of learning about from somebody how to handle people, but how to work through difficult situations.
And then what do you think of his play calling inside this offense, Shoddy? Like, the proof is in the pudding in a lot of ways, isn't it? Like, it's got to be pretty good as far as sequencing and setting teams up. That's all got to be going damn well for them to be getting this kind of results with their injuries.
The fact that he is able to realize that, like, okay, I can maybe do this, but I'm going to have to wait 2 weeks to do that. He's not trying to play round peg, square hole guy. You know what I'm saying? He's trying to find ways of who do I have available to me and how do I take advantage of those guys. I talked about the offensive linemen, the quarterbacks playing at a very, very high level. And, you know, you got a running game that's really done a nice job because the back is such a tough runner. So he's doing things that his players are capable of doing right now. And when he gets Lamb back, gets Turpin back, gets Booker back, I think you'll see some more things to this offense that we haven't seen because right now he's having to work with what he has.
Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. Tomorrow will be at Hurtado Barbecue location, Mansfield 10 to 10:30 and Fort Worth 11:30 to 12. That's your next chance to pick up a G-Bag Nation flag. We'll also be at the Highland Hotel with them 2 to 6 for your football watch party in Euless. Some of the best beer selections and delicious food, man. They have really nailed the art of the burger here at Cold Beers and Cheeseburgers. And you've nailed Krusty's Corner once again, I'm sure. Brian, what do you have in store for us?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions I want to ask Dawson, Lucius maybe, but I also want to talk about the official for Sunday's game. We'll get into that next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you, Kevin Walker, on the board today for Lucius, who's on location with us today. Cold beers and cheeseburgers in Euless. Come on by and fellowship with us. Got a Cowboys and Panthers injury report. Then we're going to get to Krusty's Corner. Chuba Hubbard is out. Taylor Moten, their starting right tackle, is out.
Yeah.
And I saw him get whipped a couple times by Jalen Phillips last week, but apparently he's a good player. It was just a couple of bad reps that he'd had.
Yeah, he's. This is a little bit of a group when you watch the Panthers play. It's not the most athletic one. And okay. So, yeah.
They can look bad when they lose.
They can look bad, and this will be a Nijma. I think Nijman, I always mess up this kid's name, Nijman. He's going to be the backup. He's going to likely be the starter at the right tackle spot. They got him from Green Bay, and he's a guy that slow-footed player. And
tear him up.
So now you're in a situation where here are the Cowboys. Can they take advantage? In the past, they kind of haven't been able to do that. In some of these games where – some of these offensive lines have been compromised. They haven't been able to generate the pass rush, but we'll see with this crew. This is a group that's they're big, but they don't move particularly well as a unit. And so we'll see if Dallas can bring some of that. We saw the twist stunts, you know, last week I mentioned the sack that Houston had where Osa and Solomon Thomas are playing at one edge, and they work down inside, so you attack. You attack, and then you get the three blockers all together, and then you bring the looper all the way around with Houston, and he's able to make the sack. So there's been times, too, with this quarterback, he will sack himself. You know, he's a guy that – and I know you've watched some of the tape of him playing that he'll drop back, and he's a shorter guy. He is a mobile guy when it comes to running and being able to get out of the pocket, but there'll be times where he will try and get out of the pocket, and he'll fall down. He will trip. He just doesn't have the balance at times. We've seen some of these running quarterbacks that have had some success. He's a running quarterback that kind of can't get out of his own way sometimes, and that's going to be a little bit of a problem for them.
You can't lose to Bryce Young. Not here. Not now.
No,
not with him. And then their pass defense is atrocious. We'll get just to the Cowboys side of this here. Tyler Booker still out. Lamb's out. Sanborn's out. Miles Sanders is out, and Stephen Jones told us top of the hour that's season ending with a knee. Kevontae Turpin is out. Deron Bland questionable. He's been limited all week. So is Kalen Carson questionable. Trayvon Diggs questionable. Neyland, Mingo, and then Tyler Smith is questionable. Tyler Guyton's a full go.
Yeah.
And a number of players on this deal. There might be 20 Cowboys sitting on this practice report. So they're just going to keep at it. And we'll have the pregame for you Sunday morning at 9 o'clock with Broaddus and Chiafalo. Time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, the king.
Hey, hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty is going to teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Broaddus.
Thank you very much to my teammates. Appreciate you guys. Thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this one too. Going to get into the Zebra report for this week, and your official is John Hussey. Is the official now,
Mr. Hussey?
There's been a time,
you Hussey.
Yeah, there's been a time where John Hussey and his crew have been over officious. You know, over official. You know, over whatever you want. There's been times where they lose control of games. I've seen them in the past lose control of the games because they don't call penalties early. Then they start to call makeup penalties. Then it's like, why? Why are we doing this now? Why weren't these calls earlier in the game? They've had a history of losing control of the game. But in this season so far through 4 games, his crew is called, they're near the bottom when it comes to penalties being called. Maybe he got tired of being one of those officials that was always talked about as, like, you know, way, way too many calls. But this crew's way near the bottom right now. And so what you have to know about this particular crew is they're most crews will have, like, holding as the number one penalty, but this crew does not have them number one. False start is their number one call, and that's one of those things that's kind of into, it ties into pre-snap penalties and things like that. That's more of a, that's an easy call.
They would have had fun last night, the Eagles game.
Yeah, exactly.
They would have been busy.
Yeah, that would have been, they would have absolutely, but they their false start has been their number one. Then you've got the offensive holding. Now, what's interesting about offensive holding with this particular crew, and we thought last week with the way the Cowboys with their backup offensive linemen, were you going to get a numerous holding calls? Well, that didn't materialize that way. This crew is funny in the way of offensive holding is their second most calls out of 10 that they've. 10 they've called this year, 9 of them have been against the home team. So you have a 9-1 disparity when it comes to home team, road team holding calls. So
wonder why.
Maybe this will play into the advantage of the Cowboys. Carolina, we've talked about Carolina a bunch this week. Not a great pass rush team. So yeah, maybe that plays into, hopefully, into the Cowboys' favor. You don't have a team that really gets off the ball all that well. Not great pass rushers. But maybe that all of a sudden, if it gets to be a little questionable, like, was that a hold? Was that not a hold? John Hussey's crew might be giving the away team a little bit more of a break than the home team right there.
Hopefully you don't need breaks to beat this team, Brian.
No. Beat the breaks off them is what you need, right?
I mean, there. I'll give them credit for Tet McMillan. Derek Brown,
yeah,
maybe a couple of other players on defense. Is Horn a decent, you know, corner still at this point in his career, 3-4 years in? Maybe a little bit of a disappointment, but solid. Other than that, man, I don't know where the good players are.
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a talent poor team. They've struggled. I mentioned they don't have the pass rush that they once had. You know, they've had a history of having guys that were outstanding pass rushers. They just don't have that. You know, you get rid of Brian Burns, we saw last night.
Oh,
you know,
gosh.
With Brian Burns. And
he caught Mailata, didn't he?
What he did last night was pretty impressive. So they struggle that way. But we'll see about that. Defensive pass interference would be the next biggest call that they have. The away team getting more of those calls against them than the home team. Illegal formation. Okay, now here's something, Dawson Lucius, that we need to know about. Illegal formation has to do a lot with guys lining up in the backfield. So if you're one of those tackles that sets deep and
– Thomas got dinged for that a couple games
exactly,
ago, didn't he?
Exactly. You don't want to be – usually they will warn you, hey, we're going to – you know, hey, you got to move up. You got to move up.
I'm watching you. Let's go.
I'm watching
you.
But all of a sudden, you know, they get you where you're – you're backed up off the ball, and they start to call that. So
your helmet's got to be at the guy to your side's waist.
Into the middle of the body.
Middle
of the body right there. So be mindful of guys lining up deep, illegal formation. Here's another officiating crew that watches the clock, delay of games. It'll be on Dak Prescott, Shoddy, and those guys to make sure they get the plays in fast enough. Also, Dak will know he's played at this stadium before. Actually, the last 3 years they played at this place, so he'll know where the clocks are. But delay of game is a penalty, a call that these guys will make. And so those are the ones that you kind of need to be very, very mindful of in this football game. Again, John Hussey's crew not calling a lot of penalties so far this year. Offensive holding, defensive pass interference, the illegal formation, and then the delay of games. Those are all things you need to be aware of.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. John Machota's coming up in about 45 minutes. You're going to have a special afternoon, 4:20 with L.A. Who hasn't wanted a 4:20 with L.A.? It's coming up here in about, 25 minutes. But Carter Freeman joins us next here. He's going to be on his way up to the UNT campus to watch tonight's game. He's going to talk Red River Fan University's Carter Freeman joins us next here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And
yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.